Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Integrating her diverse interests and talents into her work allows Soumya to approach her various talents, and trust me, she's got a lot, like writing, poetry, blogging, editing, and translation with creativity, insight, and passion, and that results in work that is both meaningful for her and also impactful. She says she's someone who likes to have ownership over her life, which is a very, very interesting thought. She struggles to define her, but her negative moments don't. She now has a home in the mountains. She's adopted a cat, who is also now the center of her universe. And she's at a stage in her life where she feels completely fulfilled. Let's dive into the conversation with Soumya. Melting Pot, a global podcast series hosted by Pyle, connects guests who have inspiring stories and reaches out to a multicultural audience over 52 countries. Guests are diverse, such as celebrities, entrepreneurs, travelers, and many more who've had a turning point in their lives and moved over to a holistic lifestyle. Follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, social media. Hi, everyone. Today, I am in conversation with Soumya Kulshrest. Soumya is a multifaceted powerhouse, and as she says in her TEDx event introduction, that she's a quintessential child where people ask the family what she does, and the family's response is, well, she does something, and that's for sure. So I think that's a very apt introduction. And thank you so much for joining me today, Soumya. So we, of course, need to know, as a quintessential child, what that, to me, the understanding of that is that you have a very diverse range of interests and also a very diverse range of talents. So can you tell us more about what these interests and, well, talent? I know that you're very talented, but I'd like to understand more about all your different interests and how you came about becoming the kind of person that you are today.
Wonderful. I think that question itself merits an hour at least of talking. Because I'm 34 years of age, and I believe I'm still discovering what is it that I'm truly born for. But a bunch of things I've understood about myself include the fact that I love the world of words. I love what is written. I love what can be read. I love what can be created. I love stories. I love poems. And I love talking. And whatever, if I marry all of these things, reading, writing, singing, talking, whatever can potentially come out of that is what I do. I like to believe I'm this person who wakes up each morning and who has a lot of very, very, very juvenile ideas in her head, but who also knows how to get those juvenile ideas out into the world. So I think I started off being as a student of literature, and then I've done a bit of marketing because for me, that was a very creative field. And I used to design very, how do you put it? Very shaitan campaigns, very nasty campaigns for a lot of our clients, which were cleverly out of the box, which had the potential to shock, but which also had the potential to carry a sort of larger meaning out towards the audience. There is a bit of compassion and empathy, I believe, all of our narratives can hold. So I started infusing that also into the world of marketing. Then a world I have explored very deeply is the world of poetry, because that is words and more words, but deeper meanings, the non-literal meanings, the indirect metaphorical meanings that all of us can uniquely construct for ourselves. I think that is what has kept me so deeply engaged with the world of poetry. Then I come from the world of teaching, because any and everything I learned, I also wanted to share and pass it on and create a sort of a system where a very humanized connection can be built, and where young minds could be enabled in the terms of becoming independent. And I was, the tools that I was using to do this was, again, poetry, was a lot of mythology, was literature, was communication skills, was visualization skills, creative writing, and thereabouts. And I think the last thing that I have done for myself is that I have built a resort in Himachal Pradesh. I live in a giant, beautiful mud house. But I think the seeds of this business, this idea also were sown in because of stories. Because we grew up reading Ruskin Bond, who's this writer who lives in the hills and who's able to survive off his writing. So I always wanted a house in the mountains. And I think imagination and bravery were my biggest companions in order to make this thing happen as an individual. And now I think one of the other things that I'm doing, and I'm really happy with it, is creating and curating events. I do very interesting events all across the country wherein a lot of dialogue, a lot of engagement can be built around what is written, what is read, what is performed, what is enacted. But the core idea is to build greater connections, larger compassion, and more empathy through whatever are the drivers. I think as a human being, that's what my calling has become now.
So, in your opinion, what are some of the misconceptions or stereotypes about individuals who actually pursue multiple interests or careers at the same time? And how do you navigate that?
Understood. So it's a question I've not really thought a lot about, I'll be honest. So whatever I will share with you, this is what I'm thinking right away. And the reason primarily for that, Payal, is that I'm a very joy-oriented person. Any kind of ruminations over what is wrong, what could have been, what am I not getting from the world gets me nowhere. But for someone like me, who has multiple interests and who likes doing multiple things and who likes having a lot of ownership over her life, one of the things that is constantly said about people like me is that we are flaky. We'll do this today, we'll do that tomorrow. And the reason I think why that happens is that because it's great for workplaces to put us in one mold and have this factory line reproduce our skill sets and our talents again and again. And whereas I think reading, I think singing, I think just reciting poetry infuses so much joy in me that I'm constantly on the path of exploration. And when you're on the path of exploration, you will like one tree one day, you will like one stream the other day, you would want to hike up the mountains, you would like to go to the beaches, and carry all those contradictions and all those excitements within yourself. It is so beautiful that at the day, I actually feel sad about people who think that flakiness should be an adjective that should be associated with people who truly listen to the call of their heart. Yeah. And I think I was sharing this with someone else the other day that I am someone who's changed careers every 2 years. And it's not really a change as much as an add-on. I started with being this marketing person. Back in the day, I've also done UPSC ka tayari because that's the great Indian dream that
Sorry,
all kids...
What is that?
Indian Civil Services.
Oh, I see. Okay.
that's the grand Indian dream that even if you're decently good at your studies, you should become a civil servant because then life will be so good. So I've done that. I have been a trader. I used to trade currency derivatives. I've been a trader in the past. I've told you I've done marketing. I do performances. I do teaching. I do consultation for edtechs. I do voiceovers. I travel now for business also. And I sing. And so people are constantly like, what do you do? And when I tell them that I do things that are coming to my heart, that's when they go poof. And hospitality, running a resort was nowhere on the anvil. But I was like, karke dekhte, let's try. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But till I'm alive, who's to stop me from trying? So that's number one, flakiness. But a very interesting thing that we often hear is that, oh my God, you're living the ideal life. So romanticizing our lives so much that this struggle becomes invisible. Sure, I'm very happy.
Sure, it's great that I'm living in the mountains and I run this house and I meet with the who's who of the world. But the journey is only known to me. And I know that romanticization also comes from a point of insecurity. It is not coming from a point of empathy. It's coming from the point of, oh, you have it easy. Oh, you do have a good life. You don't understand struggles of normal people. You don't understand the struggles of married people. I chose to be unmarried. And there was a certain amount of struggle associated therein also. But like I said earlier, struggles do define me, but my negative moments don't. All of that in good stride. So I think, yeah, those are the itsy bitsy misconceptions. And the fact that, and I know where they stem from. In the corporate world or in the organized world, they stem from the fact that we can't be controlled. I remember in the last organized job, way back that I had, there was a wonderful teacher who walked in. She saw me sitting at a corporate desk. And she looked at me and she's like, Swami, I never imagined I'd see you chained to a desk. And I was like, ma'am, but my mind is not, that is still time free. Yeah. And she was like, okay, so far so good. But they would always call me an outlier. And I believe I've worked with fantastic people who knew that I would leave. Still, they kept nurturing me. They kept nurturing me. They kept on giving me opportunities. And they still keep in touch with me. So all of my previous professions, all of my previous alignments, all of my previous work partnerships, they are alive till this date in whatever pockets I can service them till it gives me joy, till it gives them satisfaction, and till we are not co-creating toxicity in each other's lives. I think that's where I am.
Okay. Yeah. I understand what you're saying because I'm similar and I have had very different avatars through my journey as a person. And marketing being one of them, being in the travel industry for a very long time, doing voiceovers professionally, which I continue to do, an event management company, hosting. So I am a wanderer. I completely identify with that. Correct. Yes, totally. And I feel there's some synergy in all of that. Okay, I don't write poetry, but I'm an avid reader. So that kind of also defines the kind of person I am because there's learning through anything. And I've also done some acting. So it's not that, so that's the creative side of me. And I completely, therefore, relate to what you're saying. And I completely understand how it has to come from the heart.
Absolutely.
And it needs to come from within.
Absolutely. There was a very wise, in one of the organizations I worked with, and I was working with a school. I was doing marketing for a school. And that leader, he was very insistent on the fact that all of us should learn and grow and learn and grow. And there should be a certain process of unlearning also involved therein. So he often used to say that, Samia, there are only three ways to learn. It's via reading, it's via meeting people, and it's via traveling. And I think I am so curious and excited to make each day worth it, that I do all of these three things in excess. All these three things in excess. I read, I try reading about 100 books a year. I keep a tab. I have a homestay. I do events. So I meet people as a byproduct, as an organic byproduct of what I do. I love going to networking meetups. I have loads of friends here in this community. And even while staying in Himachal, I'm a Delhi girl otherwise, but 3 years ago I came here. But even now, at least twice a month or thrice a month, I'm out, I'm traveling, I'm exploring something or the other new. And again, I think I'm going to keep on going back to, I think, what my core is. The more, it's a learning paradox pile, the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. So if you imagine a circle as everything you know, the circumference would count as everything, the periphery or the circumference would count as everything you don't know. Now, the more you learn, the circle grows, and hence the circumference also grows. That means what you don't know keeps on increasing and increasing in size, and how wonderful and how strange it is together. And I think I'm just thriving in that confusion.
Absolutely. And that's what makes you who you are, right? So tell me a little bit about your homestay, because you mentioned at the start of our conversation that you live in a mud house, right? What actually prompted you to, I know it's exploration and I'm starting to understand where you come from. So not in terms of physically where you come from, but what I mean is as a person, who you are. So what generated this curiosity for you to then say, okay, I'm going to do this whole migration of moving to the mountains and I'm going to set up a mud house, which will eventually become a homestay. So a little bit about how that actually came about, the journey of it.
Sure. And
also the challenges.
Absolutely. So I'll try to make it as compact as possible. About 4 years ago, the world faced something that united it more than ever before, and that is the COVID pandemic. And I was one of the few lucky people, Payal, who had everything working for her. I did not fall sick. I had all privileges and all amenities coming home. I had more jobs than usual because the world had shifted digital. So they needed people who could quickly adapt. And I was absolutely flexible. I was malleable. And I was teaching much more than before because teachers had still not understood, making full use of the digital platform. They were still resistant. And I was this person who said, hands up, okay, send everything to me. I will do whatever it takes. Again, for my sake, but also to help people out because there were schools which were struggling. I was working with this wonderful edtech company at that point of time. And they needed certain tutors. So long story short, I had a lot going on for me, but I was trapped. And with this heart that always wants to constantly flutter away and this body that enjoys movement, sitting down in one place working and being in the same environment, something happened. And it was a very small thing, but my left hand lost a bit of mobility. And I didn't realize it. It just started developing pains. I've still not consulted a doctor for it, so I don't know what happened, but I'm guessing it was stress-oriented. And the kind of stress which is not very visible because everything is working for you. But the kind of stress which is inherent in our lifestyles, in the sense of, I remember it was, I think, March when the lockdown came about. And then I was in Delhi. So the hot summer months meant that you were sitting in AC 24/7. It's not a good way to live. Right? You're not moving your body. We do not have these ergonomic work desks at home. We sit on couches. There's not a lot of, we're sedentary. And to add to it, your mind and your body is not exposed to the elements because you're locked inside. So you're not even breathing in the correct air. Delhi air is nothing to boast of any which way. But at least in COVID, it had cleared up. And then I remember in September of 2020.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Himachal opened its borders for travelers. And I had a wonderful friend who also is like my younger brother. He lives in where I live, in a place called Bir in Kangra district of Himachal Pradesh. This place is known for its paragliding. And this boy said that, Didi, why don't you come spend some time with me? I have a home here so you can be safe, because we also have the travel anxiety in terms of sharing resources. If you're staying in a hotel, how clean, not clean, sanitation, homes were safer. So I came. And it was the first time I stayed outside of my house for this long, which was 12 days. While I'm not kidding you, my hand recovered. I became more agile. I was working with greater efficiency, same amount of work that I was doing in 12 to 16 hours back in Delhi. I was doing it in 4 to 6 hours. It's insane. And I was spending lesser. I was spending so much lesser here because we had to wake up, get our own grocery, do our own cooking. We weren't paying the amount of travel taxes, travel charges, transportation charges. And it was easy. The biggest thing was I could move my hand. Now I can move it. Earlier, I was not able to. And it just happened. It happened, I think, because we were sleeping on the floors. We were drinking better water. We had all this greenery, all the mountain air to consume. And so after those 12 days, I went back. Then I came back for 20 days. Then I went back. Then I came back for 30 days. And in that last phase, I decided that I will stay here. But I'm still a creature of comfort. I'm still a creature who likes people around. I'm a social being. And I have a lot of acceptance for it.
I second that. That's who I am as well, a complete social being. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. So I decided what I'm going to do is I'm not going to find myself a house. I'm going to find something that I can convert into a homestay so that my friends can come and stay with me and guests can come and stay with me. And I did this very smartly. I give myself a lot of credit. I opened a small homestay first, which was almost zero investment. It was already a built property. I just had to do a little bit of decor, which was minimal spending. And I was able to recover all of it. And it was a budget homestay, which anyone could really come and stay in. And what I gained out of that experience, I think, aside from returns, aside from profit, was I realized how beautiful human connections can be and how surprising. Because there were friends of mine who I'd known for tens of years. And then they came and stayed with me. And when I understood their entire cycle of being, I couldn't tolerate them. But there were people who came to stay with me who had no idea about who they are. And we just connected with our hearts so much that they always have a permanent place wherever I live. So what does it take to truly connect with people when you're not meeting each other in transit? This is the term I started using, that in Delhi, when we go out and meet people, they're constantly meeting each other in transit. Because you're coming from somewhere, you have to go back somewhere. Here, we have to go nowhere.
Yeah.
And once I saw that little homestay workout, this is the second part of the story. I designed this place where I'm sitting. So this place is called Terra Poetica. It is located on the outskirts of the main Bir town, in a little village called Gunehar. And here I found a fantastic architect by the name of Frank Schlickman. And now I wanted to move out of that house, move into something that I had created. My creations are very precious, right? Whether you are knitting a sweater, whether you're writing one poem, or whether you're building something like this. And Frank understood my vision. He had a solution. And the best thing about him, Payal, was that he would only work with native people. He would work with labor that came from here. We weren't setting up any labor camps, calling migrants from outside. But really, genuinely, this man skilled and skilled the women, mostly, who belong to my village. And of course, there were men on the project too. But women are just, they're beautiful creatures. And I remember when this house was being built and every time I would come, there was a distinct sound of laughter and music along with the construction work that would constantly be around. It was such a sonorous place, echoing with joy. And I genuinely think all of these ladies and Frank and everyone else, they just infuse so much of joy and laughter in this place, along with a lot of good intentions. That now, it's been 10 months now that this place has opened up. I've been, and this sort of is not a homestay anymore, as much as a luxury guest house. And I'm still understanding the technicalities and the legalities of all of these processes, because lone woman in an alien place, it takes a bit of time to catch up. But I think I'm on a spree. I've hosted beautiful people. We do these amazing residencies. We have musical sessions inside the house. And it's all, I think it's a living house. It's organic. It is made out of mud and clay and all the kinds of materials that could be sourced from here. But it's absolutely modern in its design and its architecture. Thanks to the wonderful person who decided that it's okay, Samya, I will take up your project and let me give you something that you will enjoy living the rest of your life in. I'm happy.
Amazing.
Here. This is modern.
Yeah, so I think it's also a matter of love, right? So yes, there is a lot of thought and everything that's gone into it, but the fact that there's so much love and passion into actually putting the project together, I think makes all the difference as well. So what's
100%.
Next for... Sorry? 100%. Yeah.
100%. And I think one last thing I want to tell you about, because I also understand I'm not the stereotypical travel entrepreneur or hotel business owner. I think my hustle is to just get people here and let them be silent. So many, and I have a giant library in my common room. I'll send across pictures later to you. But I think so many of us are grappling with the notion that this is an eventual life to live. Like, I have so many friends who say that we need to do the necessary stuff first, and then we will live our life. But like Ruskin Bond says, it's not time that's passing by, it's you and I. That quotation, that those two very simple lines stay with me. And very happy to share with you, while it just happens here, there'll be people who call me up and say that we'll just come, leave our bags, and we would go. And then they come here. And then they settle down. And then they look at me and they ask me that, will you feed us food? We don't want to go anywhere. Because they enjoy the silence. They enjoy the whatever, the love that has brought this place together. It gets translated to them. So sorry, but I wanted to.
That's fine. No, absolutely. That's just an extension of what I was saying. And that's what defines you as who you are. It defines the place that you have built. It defines all the work that you do. It defines how connections, how people, obviously there's a sense of being when you're in when people come to you or they experience what they do. So I think all of it collectively actually defines, again, like I'm saying, defines who you are as a person. And so it doesn't matter if you have diverse interests or you have you explore and experiment with different things, because at the end of the day, you are who you are, and that doesn't go away. And I think exploration is just a way of, as you've also mentioned, a way of learning, a way of developing yourself, a way of aligning with the ecosystem. I think all of that is also extremely important in and more so, I think, in today's times, and to be able to be one with yourself. Despite all these diverse interests that you may have, is what really makes the difference. So it's, yeah, Samina, I've really enjoyed talking to you. And Samina, I was going to ask before wrapping up, what's next? Because obviously the exploration hasn't stopped and it's not going to, but do you have like, any other ideas? Are you, I read in your bio that you've also done some literary festivals. And so if you could just talk a little bit about that, are you continuing to do it? In which part of India is where you've been working at? And what else is, should I say, brewing in Soumya's life at the moment?
So I think there are four things distinctly that I'm working on right now. Number one is, about a bunch of months ago, a little kitten came into our lives. And before she came in, I absolutely thought I'm not a pet person. I'm not an animal person at all. But this little one has come and taken over my life and how. So I'm learning to settle down into a care regimen. So, and why am I mentioning this is because as a very independent brain person, as a very creative person, sometimes you just fly off and there is no rooting, there is no centering, and you just focus all your energies on yourself. Now I have someone to focus my energies on. This is not to say I'm a very good friend. I pass on a lot of my energies, but to have something to constantly care for, something that can't communicate to you. And it's just, you can just have a giving relationship. You can't really take anything off of there. So I think that's happening. That's new in life. Number two, the last 10 years, I have believed myself to be a writer, but I've not put that into action enough. So I am trying to build a discipline of writing and of creating access to my own thoughts, because I really think that's my logical next step. I always wanted to be a writer, but that want has not translated into any kind of action. And I've done a lot of writing. I've done commercial writing, report writing, article writing. I've also been a published author. I've done editing. I've done translations. I have written poems here and there in little silos. But as an act of discipline, I need to learn how to put myself, enough of flying now, can you just settle down? Can you take a desk and can you learn? Number three, like you very rightly said, a bunch of literary events. And it's not just literary events. The kind of events that I've done, they travel across music, poetry, crafts, literature, cinema, and culture, essentially everything.
More so like what a multidisciplinary arts, right?
Multidisciplinary arts, but in different explorations. So for example, there is this beautiful festival based on Kabir's philosophy and the Indian mystic philosophy called the Mahindra Kabira, which happens at the banks of Banaras. It's done by Teamwork Arts, and I'm really, really proud and privileged that they, in a very small capacity, I'm able to work with them and access Kabir's philosophy. So I'm not just taking expertise there, but they were the people who opened Kabir's philosophy for me. And 1 year, 1.5 years later, I'm still learning. I'm still studying. There is a Kabir book on my bedstead. Then there is another festival done by the same team called the Sacred Amritsar, which is an exploration of history, mystic poetry and music in the city of Amritsar. And I recently, and they always push us to do something new. So aside from hosting and being a part of this event, I did a set on the famous Indian poet Amrita Pritam and her longtime partner, Rose. And I did something like that for the first time, and it was received very well. But the credit goes to the organizers for trusting us so much. Similarly, there is this district in India, in Odisha, called Jajpur, where there is a craft summit that happens every year. And in a very, I've attended two of the first editions of it. And their vision is mind-blowing. These are places I go to learn, I go to explore, I go to grab for myself. And then there is this entity very, very close to my heart, which is called the Dehradun Literature Festival. I started working there with them in 2023. And for 2024 as well, I'm continuing. The rest we'll see. But there it is a literary blast that we do. Over 3 days, we create a number of sessions. We have close to 90 to 100 guest speakers. We do it primarily because Dehradun is regarded as the education capital of the country. And we want to take a lot of stimulus, a lot of momentum towards the children, as well as the general literary, general population, which is interested in the literary arts, as well as cinema, as well as pop culture. And so that is something that keeps me on my toes. And around that, we design a lot of experiences, a lot of events. And as a curator, I can tell you that the amount of research we have to do in this amount of time, because you have to be on top of everything. What's happening in politics? What's happening in pop culture? What's happening on the OTT platforms? What's happening in nonfiction publishing, spiritual publishing? What's happening in indie publishing? What's happening in international publications? You have to know it. What's happening at other festivals? You have to know all of that. And these things have to be on your tips. But oh my God, you should see the kind of mania that possesses me whenever I'm researching and I'm deciding what to do, what not to do. And I think because the intention is so clear, we just keep on finding lovely partners, companions who just decide to support everything that we're doing. And my aim is to have just a giant literary fair where all of us are celebrating and not hustling. I just want it to become a festival of such grand ideas that all of us can absorb, go back a little richer. So this was number three. And the last thing that is what's next is going inward. I think I've done my fair amount of external exploration and I have enough stimulus. I have enough data. I have enough experiences to now collate into understanding the harmony between what is here and what is outside. And that's where I'm invested. I'm invested into silences a lot more than before.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Kudos to that. And I'm sure you're headed in that direction. And there's so much clarity in the four things that you're actually focused on. And I'm sure it's all there within your reach. So good luck. And I really, like I said earlier, enjoyed talking to you, Soumya. And you never know, one of my trips to India, I may just come up to where you are, and
you must.
I will do that. I will do that. Thank you so much. Thank you. You have a good week ahead, and I know you have a guest that you're going to be checking in soon. Yeah. So, yeah, happy times.
Thank you. I will just run up and receive my guest. But bye. What a beautiful, gentle, if I may say, loving conversation this was. Just a lot of sharing and receiving. And I'm very happy with that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye.
For more weekly conversations, do listen to Melting Pot on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts. Follow us on YouTube and on Instagram at Podcast Melting Pot. So until the next episode, this is Payal signing off.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.